Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Austin Powers. See, now, Matt Pajeski, this is why you get the awards, my friend. Because that is hilarious. Groovy. Well done. Well done, sir. Well done, sir. By the way, Brad Young here for the second hour of At Your Service. Thanks for sticking around here on this rainy, damp, dark evening here in St. Louis. What a better way than listening to good old radio. I'm glad you are with us. And Matt, I want you to crank up your mic because I want to ask you about this. You've heard me talk before about the idea that we had that Winnie the Pooh slasher movie.
Yes.
Right? And something about this makes me laugh. Not that I want to see it. I don't want to see a Winnie the Pooh slasher movie. No, who wants to see that, right? Somebody does because they're making money. There was a second one that came out this year or late last year. It was called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
I remember that now. Yep.
Very, very, very creative sequel title there. But they can do this because the copyrights on some of these classic characters have expired. Well, I read today, and this is what I want to get your opinion on, because you, my friend, are the target audience for Hollywood these days.
I am.
20-something-year-old male. Oh, yeah. I mean, they might as well just put Matt Pajeski's picture on there and say, this is who we're trying to reach. Okay? Would you go see this movie? Because it's coming out this year. In fact, I watched the trailer for it. Same company that made Winnie the Pooh, except this one is called, I'm looking for the title here, it's called Bambi. The Reckoning.
Oh, no.
And the plot is that Bambi seeks revenge. Bambi is now a big deer with huge antlers, and he's seeking revenge on the shooters who shot his mother.
Of course, yep.
And now it's a rampaging deer movie named Bambi. Is that kind of movie that you would ever want to see?
You know what? I would never want to see that in a theater. I would never want to pay the price of an expensive movie ticket or concessions and all that to see a most likely bad movie. But that would sound like maybe a fun movie if you're hanging out with your friends and maybe you've been drinking some drinks.
Adult beverages.
And then that movie might be good. It might be funny. But I would not go out of my way to see
right.
it.
Right. Okay. I can 100% agree, because did you ever watch Mystery Science Theater 3000?
No.
Okay, that's before your time.
Yeah.
I watched that show, and Matt, it was hilarious because they put on, and if you're not familiar with what Mystery Science Theater 3000 did, is that they would show really old, not real, I mean, from the 60s. Most of them were from the 50s or 60s or 70s, but they were movies that were made on a $500 budget. They were just awful. And then they had a cast of characters who would just mock the movie as the movie played. So it's a movie within a movie.
I love that.
And they would simply mock it, and they would point out things like, "Hey, his shirt's on backwards from the last scene. When did he change his?" You know, and they would do stuff like that, pick it apart. That made it funny, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing from you, Matt, is that given the right circumstances, you might watch Bambi: The Reckoning, but for the purpose of mocking it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, when a movie knows it's bad and it, like, it exploits how bad it is, that's funny. When a movie is trying to be good and it's bad, that's different. That's like, I can't even watch this. This is just horrible. They're trying to actually, they don't know that this is a bad movie. When you recognize that, that this is a bad, funny movie, mm-hmm. when you've broken the fourth wall, then yeah, I can get on board with that for sure.
Here's the only thing I'm going to ask you to watch.
Okay.
And because there's a movie that is so bad, but they tried to make a good movie. And it is Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that?
No, I may have heard you talk about this before, but I've never seen it.
You got to put that on your list.
Okay.
Because it was designed to be a good movie, but it was so bad that it's just fun to mock.
I see Bela Lugosi's in it.
Well, this is the part, I don't know if you remember. This is when Bela Lugosi was so much of an alcoholic that he was drinking formaldehyde.
Oh.
He could not get a buzz from drinking any liquor because he was so accustomed to alcohol that he couldn't get drunk.
Was that because he was a vampire, needed formaldehyde, he was undead? Dracula?
Yeah, except he would say formaldehyde, right? That's what he would say. But he was drinking formaldehyde. So when this movie started production, Ed Wood, I think, was the writer and the director of this movie. And when he started the production, he hired Bela Lugosi. It was Bela Lugosi's last movie for obvious reasons. And he died like a week into shooting. And this is back in the day when you could shoot a whole movie in like 3 weeks. And so Bela Lugosi's only in about half of this movie. And then the director, Ed Woods, thought to himself, he was a really weird guy. He liked to wear women's clothing, lots of problems. So he decided he would hire his chiropractor to fill in for Bela Lugosi. The only problem is Bela Lugosi was 5'5", and his chiropractor was 6'1". Okay? And so the whole rest of the movie, and the character wasn't even a vampire.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a bad guy, but he wasn't a vampire. So the way they replaced the 6'1" chiropractor with Bela Lugosi is they gave him a vampire cape and had him put it around, you know, and you can't see this on radio, but he would do the classic where you bend your arm and have the cape and you put it up to your eyes. And he would do that the rest of the movie, even though the character wasn't even a vampire.
I need to see this movie, Brad.
And when the space aliens show up, when the aliens come from outer space, their planes, their aircraft, rather, their spacecraft, are two paper plates that are hanging from a string. And you can see the string.
The strings, yeah.
Oh, it's worth your time for no other reason than simply to mock it. Which, speaking of mocking, I'm going to be doing some of that in the next break, or after the next break. But if you've got a movie, what's your favorite bad movie? And maybe it's not even a bad movie. Maybe it's just a movie that's a guilty pleasure that you know isn't a work of cinematic art. But, you know, you just like it nevertheless. Or it could be a really, really bad movie. One of the ones that comes to my mind a lot of people like is Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. The reason why I don't like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is because they set out to make a bad movie. It wasn't just that they know it was bad, but they were trying to be stupid and ridiculous. So it wasn't quite as entertaining. But in any event, and I've got the text coming in here that I'll be responding to during the break, but what are your favorite bad movies? 314-436-7900. More mocking after this on At Your Service.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Brad Young at your service. Thanks for staying up late with us this evening. Glad you're here. And I ran across, this is something I've talked about before, but darn it, President Biden keeps giving me more material. And so I have to address it once again. I addressed this last year. I got to talk about it again. And President Biden did an interview this week with a Mexican television network. And he was asked about gun laws. And anytime he discusses gun laws in this country, or he discusses the Second Amendment, President Biden always lurches into this story that is simply untrue on every level. Here's exactly what he said.
From the very beginning, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't... You could own a rifle, a gun, but there were
weapons
certain things you couldn't. But they weren't weapons of war.
Everything in that quote. Now, we're going to break this down, because if you want to have an intelligent conversation about what are the limits of gun restrictions, I wouldn't mind having that conversation at all. I mean, for example, I am one of the strongest supporters of the Second Amendment you'll ever find. And yet, I recognize that there probably should be some exceptions allowed for major urban centers like St. Louis and Kansas City, so that officials can say that open carry of firearms is prohibited unless you're an adult, or putting some type of restrictions on it, so that when kids are out carrying guns, they can actually be arrested for that. Because it's not like they're out deer hunting, and they're not out shooting quail or pheasant. And so I'm not opposed to reasonable time and place restrictions when it comes to firearms. But President Biden can't say that. So instead, what President Biden, you just heard him say, is that when the Second Amendment was passed, which was in the late 1780s, when the Second Amendment was passed, he said, You couldn't buy a cannon. Well, first of all, that's just patently false. You could buy a cannon. Anyone could own and buy a cannon. There were no federal laws. There were no state laws that prohibited the purchase of a cannon in any way. So if you're living in, you know, Mount Vernon, Virginia, or wherever, and you wanted to put a cannon on your front lawn, go right ahead. There was no laws against it. But he keeps using this as a ludicrous example to say you couldn't buy a cannon when, in fact, you could. And, in fact, in the research that I've done, first of all, let's talk about the constitutional concept here. Because even in the Constitution, it supports the idea of cannon ownership. Now, how do I say that? That sounds ridiculous. Brad, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can own a cannon. Well, there kind of is. If you want to Google it, it's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11. And under that particular provision, it allows Congress to grant letters of marque and reprisal. Now, what are letters of marque and reprisal? This is one of my favorite historical twists that's actually built into our Constitution, because in the 1600s and 1700s, a granting a letter of marque or reprisal was a way for countries to use private ownership, people who owned ships, that all of these ships, 100% of these ships had what? They had cannons, because the country didn't have navies. So they would allow, it wasn't just the United States, many countries did this in the 1600s, 1700s. they would allow private individuals to operate like a navy. So if they conquered some other vessel, they could keep, and then, of course, the government would tax it because that's what governments do, right? But they could keep a large portion. So they, in essence, they were legal pirates. It was legalized piracy. But it was addressed in this idea of granting a letter of marque and reprisal, which, again, just a fancy way of saying you are a legalized pirate. And every one of those pirate ships had what? Let me hear you. A cannon. That's exactly right. So our very Constitution itself enables the use of cannons by private individuals. Now, am I being a bit facetious here? Of course I am. But as I looked into the laws of our country, I can't find any law in this country that would ban the sale of cannons or any automatic weapons of any kind until about the 1930s and 1940s. That's the earliest record that I could find of any government restrictions on the ownership of weapons. So when President Biden comes and instead of saying, listen, we've got a gun violence problem here in this country and we need to address it, instead of discussing it rationally and reasonably, he keeps repeating this falsehood that you couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was drafted, when in fact you could. And in fact, people did, and it was even encouraged by our own government to buy cannons if you had a ship to go with it, right? That's the part that I disagree with, is that he attempts to link these two ideas that have nothing whatsoever to do with each other to support his argument, when in reality, it undercuts his argument. Speaking of arguments, we've had a lot of texts coming in on my fingers. I'm going to get carpal tunnel during this break. But somebody texted in and said he watched Bluey. I also watched Bluey with my grandsons. So cute and funny on a child's level, but with gentle adult humor, a refreshing cartoon. That's very good. I certainly wouldn't classify that as being something that's bad, but I'm glad you enjoy it. And much like during the break, Matt Bajeski and I were talking about watching what we were talking about. What was the movie again?
I was talking about Eraserhead.
Or you were talking about Eraserhead, but then we were talking about...
Is it Ishtar?
No, throw in the paper. I'm drawing a blank here.
The Room?
No, what's the one where people go and they participate in the
Rocky
movies?
Horror.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Sorry, I just drew a blank there. We were talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show. And the reason why that movie is fun, and you still need to do this, Matt.
Yeah.
You do. It's got to be on your bucket list. Because, not because the movie's good, but because it's hilarious with the audience participation with the movie. So I'm not trying to compare Bluey with Rocky Horror Picture Show, all right? I'm not drawing those conclusions here. But what I am suggesting is that watching Bluey with your grandsons is fun, maybe not because of Bluey itself, but because of the interaction between the audience, in this case, your grandsons, and what's going on the screen. So see, in that way, there is some similarity between Bluey and Rocky Horror Picture Show, although I don't think Bluey is, you know, dressed as a woman or anything. So that's a whole different show. That gets back into the Winnie the Pooh verse, and so we're that'll be next when the copyright goes out on Bluey. Then it'll be Bluey stars in one of those kind of movies. But in any event, what kind of bad movies do you enjoy? And I talked about this canon business, but the other problem we're going to talk about after this break, unless you want to talk about bad movies, which I can discuss all night long. But what about taxes? Now, why am I bringing up taxes? Because in 2022, the federal government enabled the IRS to dramatically expand with 87,000 additional IRS agents. And we were told that those IRS agents would be going after the millionaires and billionaires. Well, we have some data in about what they've been doing. What they've been doing with your tax money. We'll talk about that next on At Your Service. Don't go away.
cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
At your service, KMOX. And I want to take you all the way back to August of 2022. Doesn't seem that long ago, but remember when Congress passed, President Biden signed it into law, this act that would infuse the IRS with an additional $80 billion of cash spread over the course of a decade. So it was an additional $8 billion a year for 10 years. And the purpose of this was twofold. First, the IRS told us that the agency was going to hire an additional 87,000 new agents. 87,000 additional IRS agents. And secondly, the purpose, and we heard this extensively. It was in print, they were on TV, on radio, everywhere, talking about that the purpose of these new tax agents, the purpose, single-handed purpose, the focus of this was to go after millionaires and billionaires who are, quote, not paying their fair share, unquote. So since that has gone into effect, we've had a couple of years now of almost 2 years of the enactment of this. So I thought it was very, very interesting that I read today that we do have some information, and it comes from the Wall Street Journal. First of all, as of last summer, this is as of summer of 2023, 63% of all new audits, because all these new agents, right? What's their job? Their job is to audit people. That's their job. 63% of those audits targeted taxpayers with incomes of less than $200,000. Less than $200,000. So the vast majority of all new audits were going after people who were not millionaires, are never going to be millionaires, probably don't even know any billionaires. And that's who is going after it. And only a very small percentage of the people covered individuals going above $1 million. And I've gone through these stats before, and it's mind-boggling, but it's really hard to discuss statistics on the radio. And I'm not going to go through all of these statistics again. But the bottom line of these statistics is really simple to grasp, and that is the vast majority of all tax audits are for people who make very little money. So, or they make a very good income, but they're not millionaires, they're not billionaires. And there's a very, very easy answer to why this is. Even though we were promised going to go after the millionaires and billionaires, and you know why that was. It was done to justify and to make it seem like it's okay, because most people aren't millionaires. Most people are not billionaires. So if you come as from the IRS and you say, listen, I'm only going after the millionaires and billionaires, then the vast majority of Americans are going to go, whew, glad they're not coming after me. It's okay. Go after those rich white guys, but you're going to be leaving me alone because I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a billionaire. But that's false. That's why I said at the time when this passed, I said, mark my words, what's going to happen is they're going to go after regular people. They're going to go after maybe some higher middle-class income individuals, but they're going to go after a lot of people making $60,000, $50,000, and $40,000 a year. And there's a very easy reason why that happens. It's not hard to understand. Think about it this way. If you're a lion in the jungle, if you're a lion on the prairie in Africa, are you going to go after a gazelle that has antlers or a gazelle that has no antlers? Which of the two? Right? Not hard to figure out. The lion's going to kind of stay away from the antlers and going to go after the thing that cannot defend itself, right? That's the reason why the vast majority of tax audits have been and always will be against the little guy. They will be against people who make maybe very good incomes, but you're squarely in the middle class. You're not sipping martinis, smoking cigars on golf courses that you own. They're not going to do that. Why? Because rich people can afford lawyers. That's the realistic answer. And rich people can afford accountants. And so when you have accountants and lawyers working for you, two things happen. Number one, more often than not, you pay very little in taxes because those lawyers and accountants find loopholes so you're not breaking the law. And secondly, if you do cross over and you do break the law, they've got lawyers and accountants to fight the IRS, and they have to devote more and more resources to fight the fat cats. So just like that lion on the Serengeti plains that wants to go against something that can't fight back, the IRS goes against the little guys. Why? Because they can't afford lawyers. They can't afford accountants. So when the IRS shows up and says, hey, Joe Sixpack, we did a cursory audit of your taxes, and we think you owe us an additional $5,000. This is the analysis that that person goes through. If I want to fight this, I'm going to spend $15,000 or $20,000 paying for an attorney and an accountant, or I can pay the $5,000. Which of those two am I going to do? Well, of course they're going to choose to pay because it's cheaper than hiring an attorney to fight it. It's cheaper than hiring an accountant to fight it. So when you put that together, the fact that the IRS got an additional $80 billion in funding to hire an additional 87,000 auditors at the IRS, their quill pens will be pointed at the regular guys of this country, not at the fat cats. And it's not any harder to understand other than that. And what was interesting is Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, former member of the Federal Reserve, was asked about this, and she really didn't have any defense to this position. She said, well, the legislation was aimed at businesses or households earning $400,000 per year or less. But when you look at the stats, they're not going after people making $400,000 or even $300,000. It's $200,000 or less. Now, I know $200,000, that's a lot of money. I get that. But that's not people who own yachts. And that's not people who own planes. You're not going to be doing that on a $200,000 a year salary. It's not going to happen. So whenever you hear the government saying to you, we want more of your tax dollars, but it's not to come against you. It's to go against somebody else. Don't worry, Joe Sixpack, Susie American, relax. We're not coming after you. We're going after the other guys. That's not always the case, because that's from the one perspective. The second perspective is when you look at you're employing 87,000 new auditors, those guys and gals have to have something to do, right? They're not just showing up at work every day and playing video games. They're not playing Call of Duty on their computers at work. They got to actually do some work. And if they don't want to go against the millionaires and billionaires, because there aren't all that many of them, it's a much more target-rich environment to go against regular people just like you who are not the folks who are buying yachts. But does it bother you that your government lies to you when they tell you these things? And this is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. Republicans do this too. The problem is government, not political affiliation. This is not a slam against Democrats, although Republicans typically would not fund an increase in the IRS. But Republicans oftentimes, like, for example, right now, are in favor of something called increased FISA warrants, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which means the government doesn't need a warrant to come at you. And a lot of Republicans support that, too. Mainly Republicans support increased funding for and continuation of the FISA Act. But that's the same game as the IRS. It's just wrapped in a different package. So in that instance, it's a problem because if the government is saying, oh, we're going to only use these warrantless searches, but it's not against you. It's against these other people. The problem is that it may not be against you today, but it certainly could be against you tomorrow. Although we have to go to a break, I'm going to take Norm's call here before we hit the break. Hey, Norm, welcome to KMOX.
Hi there.
Good evening, sir.
I've got a Cracker Jack tax guy.
Okay.
His name is Loophole Louie. and he'll be able to serve me in 7 to 10.
That's right.
I just, when I heard the, when I was listening to the show and I thought, I just got to call in.
Well, I will tell you this, Norm. You know the difference between a good accountant and a great accountant, don't you?
I think I've heard this, but I'm having what you call a senior moment.
That's okay. I had one just about 15 minutes ago. But the difference between a good accountant and a great accountant is this. A good accountant tells you how much money you made. A great accountant says, how much money do you want to make? That, my friend, is the difference between a good and a great accountant.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate you calling in this evening, Norm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, talk to you soon. We have to take our last break of the evening, and then we'll be back with more of your phone calls, more of your texts. We got a lot of texts here I got to go through during the break, and then we're going to talk about a couple of other topics here before the end of the show. 314-436-7900, KMOX. We'll be right back.
I'm Brad Young. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
Welcome back to At Your Service, the only show in media where we discuss the legal intricacies of the U.S. Supreme Court and bad movies. Where else are you going to get those two in a combination? Nowhere. Nowhere. But right here on KMOX. Frankie's been holding during the break. Hey, Frankie, good evening.
Hi, Brad. First time hearing your show.
Oh, great.
The heck with taxes. I want to talk about bad movies.
Okay. That's great.
Man.
Bad movies. What's your favorite bad movie?
It's tough. My favorite director, obviously, is Edward D. Wood Jr.
Yes.
Plan 9 from Outer Space. Oh, yeah. Burt I.
Absolutely.
Gordon, that did all the monster movies and stuff. Al Adamson. Oh, we discovered this in college, and it's, man, if you have a bad day, you throw on something like Star Crash with Caroline Monroe, and you feel much better after that.
Well, I haven't told this story in a while, Frankie, and I want to tell you this story, and then I want to hear some more bad movies. But I went to a Star Trek convention in the 1980s. All right?
Cool.
And I'm at this Star Trek convention. I'm 17. I'm a junior in high school, and a couple of buddies of mine, it's hot. We're at the Henry VIII Hotel.
We were there, too.
Okay, good. All right. I probably saw you. And so I was there, and it was hot, and so I went to find a Coke machine because I was thirsty. And so my buddies and I are sitting in this hallway of a hotel at the Henry VIII, and out of this room, down a long hallway, comes Leonard Nimoy. And he points at me, and he says, "Hey, you, come here." I'm like, "Me? You're talking to me? Leonard Nimoy? Spock, you're talking to me?" He goes, "Yeah, you, come here." So I walked down this long hallway, and when I got just about to his door, he said, "You guys are too loud. Be quiet." And then he starts to slam the door in my face. And that's when I pointed at him. I wagged my finger at him, Frankie, as he was closing the door. And I said, "Hey, pal, don't forget you were once in Zombies of the Stratosphere."
The black and white one,
That was pre-Star Trek. You know, it was the 1950s. I said, "You were in Zombies of the Stratosphere." And he looked at me, and he started laughing, and then he slammed the door. So that was my one brush with greatness. So I didn't know if you'd ever seen Zombies of the Stratosphere.
Oh, who has it? I mean, it's got that, like that wetsuit on running around and stuff.
Oh, it's so bad.
We were there in our claim to fame. Jimmy Doohan, Scotty.
Yeah,
was
oh,
our
sure.
Pal.
Uh-huh.
And my friends and I even got to go to Hollywood when he got his star on Hollywood Boulevard. We had to pay for it in his later years. And I got to buy Neil Armstrong a Chardonnay at the Marriott there by where they had the Academy Awards. Yeah, he loved us. I mean, it was, But I never got my door a door slammed in my face by Leonard.
So what other Ed Wood movies? What was it? It wasn't Victor Victoria? Was that
close? No. That's the one with
That's the one. That's different.
Yeah, that's a real movie. That was
no. That's there was an Ed Wood movie where it was
Glenn or Glenda.
That's it.
God, they really do a good job with that with Tim Burton's Ed Wood movie with Johnny Depp. I mean, it's just horrible. It's great.
Right, and then it was also that thing with Ed Wood had something about he had a fetish for sweaters or something like that.
Angora.
And that's what it is.
Oh, God, he was nuts, and it's just awesome. And it all really happened. That's the beauty of that.
Oh, it really did. So, yeah, you're taking me down a trip down bad movie memory lane.
Ain't it cool?
It is cool. Give me one more, Frankie, and then I'll have to let you go.
One more what?
One more bad movie.
Oh. Well, you know, Svengoolie does a great job on MeTV.
Yes, he does. I've watched it many times.
They ran The Time Travelers the other night, and it's great. It's got everything. Mutants, gorgeous girls getting suntans.
Bad special effects.
Oh, real bad special effects.
Yeah, horrible acting.
Yeah, but they all work at it, like the giant claw and stuff. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, they're acting their hearts out. And now they try to do this stuff, and it's like, that's a point.
I'm laughing so hard here, Frankie, I'm getting choked up. This is a lot of fun. Hey, I appreciate you calling in.
I like your show, sir. I have not heard this before.
Thank you. Every Wednesday night, 8 to 10.
If it makes you feel any better, I did watch the end of a Star Trek episode after we had dinner, and I am now watching Vice TV, and they're doing stuff on Cops. That's pretty bad too. Mm. The original Cops.
Yeah, but the theme song was pretty good though.
Oh, Bad Boys. Yeah.
Bad Boys is a very good theme song for Cops.
You know it's going to be a good episode when they're in Bradenton, Florida. There's something wrong with the water there.
You're right, and somebody's shirt is coming off. You know that before the end of the evening, there's going to be a shirtless defendant.
And it's not going to be a pretty girl.
No, it is not. It is not. Hey, Frankie.
What a moron.
I'm glad you found the show, my friend, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Well, good. Oh, yes, and good luck with KMOX. It's just it's an absolute treasure for St. Louis.
It is.
Okay, take care.
Thanks for
now.
Calling in. Good night. I wanted to make sure and get to this before the hour is over because this morning I do a legal segment in the morning, and I'm not going to have time to hit this, but I'm going to go real fast, and that is President Biden responded today to the 1864 law in Arizona that the Supreme Court said is viable. Here's what President Biden said.
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century, 21st century.
21st century, you know, whatever it takes. I was shocked at how this has been such an uproar because people are saying, why? That law was passed before women had the right to vote. But so was the Constitution. So were the state constitutions of almost every state that was in existence in 1864. I don't know why. Just because it's old, it means it's bad. Not really sure. My jokes are old. Well, I can't say that. My jokes are old, but they are bad. Hey, Brad Young in this evening. Make sure you stick around. Coming up next at 10 o'clock is the best of Dave Glover. I will see you in 2 weeks here on KMOX.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.